And that's really what the What's Next call is really more about, is it's more educational, it's more informative. So if we can do a risk analysis or a nexus review, whatever you want to call it, and identify when and where you've established nexus, and then we can just walk through that with you. Or even if you had your own done, then we could walk through with you from an educational perspective, informative perspective, and then we can help guide you. We can fulfill those services, we can help show you the way type of thing. So that's really what's most fulfilling for me and for others on the team who participate in those What's Next analysis, is the informative educational collaborating that happens to put business owners, officers of the company in a much better situation, so where they can make a great business decision, educated business decision when it comes to their footprint.
Let me just give a hashtag truth, hashtag amen. Love it.
Hello, you are listening to the Saltcast by Peisner Johnson, the sales tax people. And for the last 30 plus years, we have been providing sales tax solutions and peace of mind to everyone we talk to. Today, I want to talk about how, you know, if your business has been previously non-compliant, and it could be due to bad advice, or you're thinking you may not have nexus, but then years later, like, maybe we did. And then what your next steps are. Obviously, you can't run from it. I was also thinking about some bad advice that I gave my brother a few years back. You know, and I gave him the bad advice and just thinking he wouldn't do this, but we were at this bridge called the Funny Farm Bridge. Big bridge, and you can climb up to the scaffolding and jump off the top. It's probably like 40 feet high from the river. And I was telling him, I was like, hey, you should run and dive over the ledge and dive into the water. And it was at the bridge level is like 20 feet. Because there's some cute girls there that he thought he wanted to impress. And I was just kidding, because I would never do it. I wasn't brave enough. But I was talking to my other brothers and Rosalie, and all of a sudden I hear doom, 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 slap, screaming, and belly flop, the water. And, you know, there's probably 30 people on the bridge, kind of like watching, making sure he's coming up out of the water, and we're all ready to jump in. But, you know, I know historically people have been given bad advice that they have followed, right? And it's probably led to tragic things. So maybe you guys can kind of share, you know, some scenarios you've seen when people, you know, recognize they might need to be compliant and they got bad advice, or what are the different remedies to become compliant if you know it's been a while since you've started your business and you know that you've had to have collected sales tax, but you didn't.
Well, let's chat just a little bit about the question we get from other advisors, from other partners that we work with, and just in the general, in the marketplace today. It seems in our world of sales tax that the Wayfair decision at the U.S. Supreme Court in relation to the South Dakota law has been over-communicated, over-talked about. People would say, do we need to keep talking about Wayfair? So the question that we get a lot is how is it in today's environment someone could be non-compliant or not be familiar with what the rules are? And I just want to go backwards just a little bit and remind everybody that before the Wayfair decision, before what we all have become familiar with of economic nexus, there was and still remains a law that's 50 years old regarding physical nexus in a state. And so there were plenty of companies prior to Wayfair that we met with that were unaware of activities within their business that were creating physical nexus for them in other states, where their product and services were taxable, giving them a responsibility to register, collect, and remit tax in that state. So it's not unusual that even in the hyper communicated knowledge of economic nexus, that there's probably a majority of businesses doing business in the US who probably need to register in one or more states. And so being non-compliant is kind of the status that we're in the US. There are so many companies who are non-compliant, and it might just be because they're unaware of these laws and how they affect their business, or they're in denial. We meet with companies who still today, who can read the legislation that's come out in all of the states that mirror the legislation in South Dakota, who would say, I can't even conceive, it cannot be possible that a state that I don't conduct business in could require me to register and collect their sales tax. And so sometimes you're just really in the point of denial because it just seems so far-fetched that a state could do this. But let's just clear that up. Every state that imposes a state sales and use tax has passed a law with a threshold requiring companies with sales into their state. Remember, this is based on where your customers are now, not where you're located or where you're conducting business, a requirement to collect and remit tax. And just real briefly, let me introduce the three things that are the most important questions that every company and every trusted advisor needs to consider as it relates to their clients. Do I have nexus? And you need to understand what the nexus threshold is, because thresholds are a dollar amount in most cases. In some cases, it still involves a transaction count, but that threshold can be based on different types of sales going into that state. So you need to understand the threshold and what makes up the threshold for nexus, right? We can talk about physical nexus, and it very well may be that you have physical nexus, and that's a good discussion to have. But the first question you have to ask yourself is, do I have nexus? We always start with nexus because nexus determines whether you could have a responsibility to collect tax in that particular state. The second one is, are the items I sell taxable? If the items you sell are taxable in that state and you have nexus, then you might, hear my words, you might have a responsibility to register and collect sales tax. The third question you have to ask is, I'm the responsible party for collecting that tax, along with every bit of legislation that's been passed requiring companies to register who have economic nexus, as it's called. Is marketplace facilitator legislation, which essentially says the marketplace facilitator is the responsible party for sales made on their marketplace. And so there always comes the question on, if you're only a marketplace seller, you only sell your goods or services on a marketplace, or do you sell those goods in other traditional formats, whether it be online, on your own website, whether you have a brick and mortar location, whether you ship goods from another place other than goods that sit on the marketplace. So you have to answer those questions. Do I have nexus? Is what I sell taxable? And am I the responsible party? And those three questions have to be asked in each state where you have sales of product or services going into that state. So just wanted to lay the, I know, so many people can feel like, oh my goodness, this is just, I don't need to hear any more about Wayfair, and I don't need to hear Pizer Johnson's three simple questions that need to be answered. But you do, you do, because they're the most important questions that can be answered. So that brings you to a point to determine if you have a responsibility. So if you have a responsibility, and you're not currently registered and you're not collecting tax, then you're non-compliant with that state's law. So, Paul, if we find ourselves in a non-compliant situation, and I assure you, a majority of companies doing business in the U.S., at least in one state or more, are in a non-compliant position. What can we do?
Yeah, that's amazing, because we talk with clients every day who are in this state of non-compliance. I have established Nexus, my products are taxable, or my services are taxable, and I haven't been collecting tax, I haven't been audited, I haven't been contacted by the state, but what do I do? And that's, oh man, that's really what we talk with clients about each and every day. Really comes down to a few different factors. One, I learned from our founding partner, Andy, and that's materiality. Materiality always plays a big factor. Well, how material is that liability, that responsibility you have? How material is it? And is it material to you? It's interesting, as we talk with clients about materiality, that the varying levels of materiality that come, right? I have some clients who it's a few thousand bucks. Oh man, that was really going to hurt. Let's go ahead and NVDA, or let's go ahead and pay that tax. And I got some clients who we have 100,000 or more in tax liability, and they're like, nah, this, if they came, I'll let them come, but I'm not going to go about remitting that, because I'm just not worried about it. I'm not concerned about it. So you have a risk factor, the materiality.
There's two non-compliant situations, right? You could have been collecting tax and not had the ability to remit it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or you simply could not have collected the tax as you should have as an agent of the state, them saying that you have a responsibility to do it.
Yeah.
Well, if I didn't collect the tax, I definitely don't want to pay it out of pocket with penalties and interest. We're not saying that you don't have to. The state says you need to.
Right.
You have to. But there are companies that say, but I don't want to. I mean, this is tax I didn't collect. I didn't know.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's why we call sales tax the a margin killer, and not collecting tax when you had the responsibility to collect tax from a willing customer who knows in our environment today that they're going to be paying tax on taxable goods and services is the biggest tragedy in sales tax, right?
Yeah.
Because if it comes out of your own pocket and you're unable to collect it from your customer, that's collected at 5 to 10%. And then with penalties and interest, oftentimes you're exceeding 10%, maybe moving into 20% or more on an annual basis. So if you've been doing this for 2, 3, 4 years, you've wiped out, and you function on a 10% margin, you've wiped out your margins for 2, 3, 4 years straight, having to deal with that. And so, the materiality is a big deal. But there's essentially two remedies, right? So let's say you find yourself in a position you've collected and didn't remit. That's serious. I just want everybody to recognize that's real serious. You don't get to just look away and say, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to register going forward and not worry about that liability, because you've held on to money that's the state's money. Right.
Yeah.
And so sometimes the remedy that you choose will be different based on the activities that have occurred.
Yep.
The length of time
has
gone by, and the benefits that might be associated with the different remedies that you can utilize. And so it's really important to collaborate on that, to be able to have a conversation with a trusted advisor or someone like Pizer Johnson, who deals in sales tax on a daily basis with these different issues, and just get some good advice. We'll talk in a minute about bad advice, to Ryan's point. But first, I think it's important just to talk about what are the two specific, I look like an ex-president here, what are two specific remedies, there's another one for you, that we can use to help companies get compliant? Like, what's the most common practice?
Well, the two most common are a registration, obviously getting registered with the state, whether that be historical or a current registration, registering when Nexus was established a year ago, 6 months ago, 2 months ago, 3 years ago, or currently just turning the tax on, starting to collect the tax, remit the tax going forward, or the other option outside of registrations would be participate in a voluntary disclosure / amnesty program that the state may offer. And there are pros and cons to each of them, right? As you've alluded to, maybe you haven't collected the tax and, under a voluntary disclosure agreement, you're going to be asked to pay the tax going back to when you established Nexus. Now, if Nexus was established more than the statute of limitations, 3 years or 4 years, depending on the state, then the state will allow for the statute of limitations to take effect. And they'll waive their right to the tax, the penalty, and the interest prior to the statute of limitations through a voluntary disclosure agreement. That may be beneficial for you, depending again on materiality, how much in tax we're talking about. And then to your point, the benefit, what benefit is it going to be to me? What am I going to get out of this? What am I going to avoid by doing this? As opposed to a registration. We have seen many, many bad advices, but that have been given. Many belly flops in Ryan's example. Oh, just the imagery of that poor brother of yours tumbling and then smack. Oh, it's painful.
So let's talk about bad advice. To Ryan's point, if Ryan had said to his brother, now after the fact, Ryan says, well, I was just kidding, but maybe Ryan really wanted to see him do it, right? Ryan wouldn't do it.
He had some ill will towards him.
Let me just share this really important principle. If you want to avoid bad advice, legit, seek a second opinion.
Yeah.
Just collaborate with somebody else. Consider this. If Ryan's brother had turned to anybody else that was there and said, what do you think?
Yeah.
Likelihood would they would have said, nope, don't do it.
Yeah, not doing it.
And he may not have gone over the edge, flipping, tumbling, and crashing on his belly to the water 40 feet down. That's awful. We say the same thing. There's times that people come to us and they say, hey, listen, I either did this DIY, do-it-yourself Nexus analysis, right? Maybe they haven't even considered taxability, which is the second question you've got to ask yourself.
Painful.
Or somebody else, another trusted advisor, has done some sort of a Nexus study. This is just one type of bad advice. And they've said, okay, you need to get registered in 30 states, 40 states.
Yeah.
And so you're looking to get registered. And so sometimes we have individuals that will come to us and they're like, I need to get registered in 40 states. Okay, well, let's look at how you came to that decision. And sometimes we reflect on the advice that was given by another party. And we say what somebody else should have said to Ryan's brother in that moment. Nope, don't do that. Don't do that. Very real experiences, right? That this would be something like, hey, you need to get registered in this state, or because your outstanding liability or the responsibility that you had is really material, and we can avoid penalties and maybe some interest if you come forward. And maybe it's been longer than 3 years in a particular state that has a 3-year limited look back. So this is going to save you a lot of money. You're going to come out of pocket taxes you didn't collect, but it's going to save you a lot of money.
Right.
Well, then we take a glance at it. And we look it over and we say, well, is what you sell in that state taxable? We just do a little bit of taxability analysis and come to find out it's not taxable. Not only would we not have had you conduct a VDA, not only would we not have you register because it would be immaterial, we likely would have given you the advice to not register at all. Because if you have Nexus, but you don't sell anything that's taxable, then you have no responsibility to collect tax on the sales into that state. We come across this all the time. The other thing we see by way of bad advice, or what we would consider bad advice, is saying that you should only do VDAs when the answer might be a registration.
Yeah.
Or all historical registrations. When in some situations where it's not material or it's not significant or the time period has not been a long time that you've been noncompliant, a prospective registration will surely suffice, right?
Yeah.
And so it's really important if you want to overcome bad advice or you want to avoid bad advice, you just always want to get a second opinion. Paul has shared a great analogy when it comes to the medical practice, right? The fact that it's called practice gives you some anxiety because you know every doctor that's working on any situation that you have is practicing medicine. And so it's not a sure science. And so I would say in the state and local tax world, there are many people that practice state and local tax consulting. And that means that you should get a second opinion. When it comes to a medical procedure or a drug that you're being asked to take, there's some wisdom in asking another professional, is this how you would move in this yeah. situation or this direction? So
yeah,
we love to collaborate. Whether you've sought a do-it-yourself type Nexus study, whether you've reached another professional or organization to have a study, if you are a trusted advisor, maybe you're a CPA, you're an accountant, maybe you're a fractional accounting officer of some sort, and you're aware of individuals that are facing this, we want to talk to you. We want to yeah. collaborate just so that we can help drive confidence in the decisions that you're making based on the recommendations or the advice that you received, and that you have some peace of mind as you roll forward as it relates to sales tax. It's one of the greatest joys we have is being able to talk with someone, even if we don't really get the chance to develop a relationship or do work for you in the future. Our desire is that you have greater peace of mind and confidence as it relates to the decisions that you're making regarding your company when it comes to sales tax, and try to offer some greater simplicity on those decisions because it is complex. The sales tax laws and developments over the last 5 years, going on 6 years now, have complicated the marketplace. They haven't created a lot of clarity to businesses trying to comply. So we just want to be able to help with that. And what's great about us is we never have believed and still don't believe that it should cost you money to talk to us. So there's no charge to chat with us and give us some background on what you're facing and the recommendations that have been made. If you haven't had a chance to really look at your compliance situation, we also want to talk to you and just educate a little bit on the environment, on the marketplace, on your situation, and see how we can help you with recommendations on what can be done to help you get compliant, but mitigate lots of dollars coming out of your own pocket to get in a compliant position. With this great caution and warning that we consistently share, the way I'm using my hands today, I just feel presidential. You know what I'm saying?
exactly. Well, it is the year, you know.
You cannot avoid it.
Sorry.
I was just going to say the one caution, don't avoid facing it and having the conversation. That's so important because it only gets worse the longer you go. And the biggest failures we see come when someone's trying to go through a merger or an acquisition. It's yeah. just terrible timing to yeah. learn and to realize that you've got significant outstanding sales tax responsibility because it affects the value of those sales and purchases and those moments. And so it's you just can't hide from it. Sorry, Ryan, go
100%.
Ahead.
Oh, no, I'm glad you finished your thought there. One thing I've always wondered, because I'm not on these What's Next calls, I'm just trying to help people recognize they might have significant responsibility with sales tax and marketing. But do we ever have a situation where someone, you know, gets on a call with us and they have pretty significant, you know, liability and you recommend some VDAs, but they're like, no, I just want to get registered. Like, how does that conversation go?
Yeah, that happens quite often. And even it has happened where we have recommended that they VDA and they're like, oh, let me think about it. 2 weeks, 4 weeks pass, and now the state reaches out with a questionnaire because they want to audit the company. And they're like, Did you rat us out? No, never, never would I ever mention you or your business. You know, we want to help you. We're not in the business of trying to hurt you. But yeah, if they don't want to do a voluntary disclosure agreement and they want to register, it's certainly an option and certainly a way in which they can get compliant. In those instances, we just help educate them on the pros and cons given their specific scenario. Okay, by registering, here's what we're doing. We're going to the state. We're now becoming a registered taxpayer. The state doesn't know any wiser because it's a new registration. We're going to register effective this date and do it going forward. So the state says, yes, we got another taxpayer. Well, let's put them on a monthly or a quarterly frequency. And then you are going to file returns and remit tax. And it's not until you get audited or some red flag gets raised or whatever that the state comes and starts asking questions. They start looking around. They start seeing. And for a while there, the states, when you register, they were asking questions of, hey, is this really your effective date or your start date? According to the Secretary of State's website, you've been in the state for X amount of years. Do you just now have this sales tax responsibility? May conduct these little mini audits. The state of Utah now asks you to complete a questionnaire where they ask you to provide your total company sales for the last 3 years and the total Utah sales the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. It's their kind of way to kind of check the waters or test the waters to see whether or not you have a responsibility prior to that. We've yet to see anything come of that, but as a result of also registering, one of the advantages is you start that, what I call the statute of limitations clock. You know, the state can only audit what's in the statute of limitations as far as a filed return or remitted tax. And so if I file a return and remit the tax today, well, the state only has 3 years or 4 years, depending on the state, to audit that period, that return, and that tax I remitted. But if I didn't file a return for last month or pay the tax for last month, well, the statute of limitations doesn't apply to that. So there is an advantage in that it starts that statute of limitations clock, and it's not very common for a state to audit more than what's in the statute of limitations because it's out of the statute. But if the state is aware that you established Nexus in 2019 and you didn't register until 2021, well, it's in their interest, like we talked about, to audit that period and to get that tax with penalty and interest. So there are many ways to go about it. And yeah, that is an option for companies to not VDA and to simply go ahead and register moving forward. So it's a good question.
Yeah, I've always wondered that because, you know, some people do get that bad advice from someone else, come to us and, you know, get other advice, but then they may decide to go with the bad advice. And I guess really, it's really what the customer wants to do. And you can only educate them so far as to what the possibilities are.
100%. And that's really what the What's Next call is really more about, is it's more educational, it's more informative. So if we can do a risk analysis or a Nexus review, whatever you want to call it, and identify when and where you've established Nexus, and then we can just walk through that with you. Or even if you had your own done, then we could walk through with you from an educational perspective, informative perspective, and then we can help guide you. We can fulfill those services, we can help show you the way type of thing. So that's really what's most fulfilling for me and for others on the team who participate in those What's Next analysis, is the informative, educational collaborating that happens to put business owners, officers of the company in a much better situation, so where they can make a great business decision, educated business decision when it comes to their footprint.
Let me just give a hashtag truth, hashtag amen. Love it.
So yeah, look for the hashtag peace of mind. You know, we post a lot with the hashtag peace of mind, where you guys can schedule your What's Next call or find more resources. I mean, we're all over that hashtag. So find us. You can also find us at thesalestaxpeople.com. Reach out to us at info@pj.tax. And we really do want to talk to everybody. And it's likely you'll speak to Paul or Jason. So don't hesitate to sign up. And you know, guys, thanks for being on, and look forward to see you on another one.
Awesome.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, everyone.